If you can please open your Bibles to Book of Acts, chapter 23. We're going to be reading a few verses there in chapter 23, but we're mainly going to park a little bit at verse 11. For this morning's message, the title is, Be of Good Cheer. And I was sharing with first service, I was kind of like asking the Lord, why do you want me to share this with them? Nice people, they're doing great. Wonderful fellowship, wonderful church, wonderful city or town. I go, they're okay. Oh, but the title is Be of Good Cheer. And now when I got here, I hear about the storm and I go like, oh, I got it. So you guys be of good cheer. Everything is okay. It's going to be okay. We've been in Panama, my wife and I, in Panama for 5 years. And if anything, just to be witness of God's grace and mercy and how he's doing a wonderful work in Central America and Latin America. And I believe with all of my heart that just as the United States had the great time, you know, with the gospel and spreading the gospel all over the world, thank God for that. I believe that the Lord is doing something just amazing in Latin America. In Cuba, for example, I believe they started around 30 Calvary chapels. They're not registered because they can't, but nevertheless, they're going. I mean, the Lord is doing a great and amazing work in Cuba. And I heard somebody's going to Venezuela. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Venezuela and Colombia and Brazil. Even Calvary Chapel has a Bible college in Brazil. And in Colombia, maybe like 15 Calvary Chapels, and they have a Bible college there too. And the same in San Salvador and in Nicaragua. The work God is doing in Nicaragua is just amazing, and you guys are part of it. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for praying for Latin America. And please, if you haven't, please pray for us. God is going to do some amazing work there, and you can be part of it, even though you probably haven't had a chance to go there. But you can pray for it, and it's just so needed. And so I want to thank you for that. And you miss out on the Panama night on Friday, so maybe the next one you can make it. We'll still love you anyway, but be part of it. Get involved. I mean, time is now. We don't know how long we're going to be here. I think we're going home maybe before the storm gets here. And there's no time, seriously. People die every day, and most of them never heard the gospel once. And it's for us, the church, to get involved and be part of a missions mission trip. If you never had the opportunity, if you get involved with a missions trip, it doesn't matter if it's Mexico or Africa, whatever, but it's going to change your life forever. I believe that. And I have seen how God just does an amazing work when somebody just says, here I am, send me. So I'll encourage you, please be part of it. And as I encourage you, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're here this morning. We gather together to worship you. Lord, may your word be exposed this morning. May your name be exalted and glorified. May your Holy Spirit empower us to live the Christian life the way you intended it. Lord, that we will glorify you in all things. And Father, that this morning when we go home, we'll be so encouraged and so eager to be part of what you're doing. Maybe in Latin America, maybe in Africa, in Asia, whatever you might have us to go, that you will just do a tremendous work in our lives. We love you, we worship you, and now we pray that you will speak to us. May your Holy Spirit descend upon each one of us this morning and give us wisdom and understanding to not just hear your word, but to apply your word to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In chapter 23 in the book of Acts, I want to tell you a little bit about the Apostle Paul, how he was so his desire, he was so passionate about just bringing the gospel to the Jewish people. And he made it, I mean, his number one priority, to a point where he says, even if I lose my salvation, I don't care. I just want my people to be saved. And that in itself, it speaks volumes to us, you know, that we will not stop, that we will not allow things to come our way and just distract us from just sharing the gospel with those who loves us and those who we love. our family members or co-workers or school friends or whoever that might be. There will be opposition, there will be difficulties, there will be all kinds of trouble, yes. But we serve a mighty God. And He's with us, He's faithful. One of the verses that I really love is when He says, I will be with you always. I love that. Though there are times that I feel like, God, how can you be with me? Knowing my heart. You see my heart. And you just see what's in me and with my mind and so corrupted in my mind and my heart. And I just don't understand. I cannot comprehend how the God of heaven wants to be with me. And that in itself gives me a desire, even deeper desire to say, God, if anything, I just want to let people see that you love people like me. And if I'm not going to preach a sermon, if I'm not going to do this, I just want to go out there so that they will see that you are real. And I see the Apostle Paul here. He's going back to Jerusalem. He even brings an offering to the church there because they were struggling. And he gets all of these things and he's ready to go and he's excited about it. And he gets there and he goes totally the opposite direction. They don't receive his testimony. And I see that in chapter 22, he even argues with Jesus. Jesus tells him, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And Paul says, whoa, Lord, they know. He's almost to a point where he's arguing with the Lord. That's how deep his desire was to reach out to his own people. But things don't go in the way that we want all the time. The way we plan things. The way we imagine that things will come out. Sometimes they just don't go like that. And I think it's for the good. Because if God would allow us to go our way, we'll make a mess. I know I made a mess of my life. Thank God that He was able to cleanse me from all thy iniquity. My iniquity and my sin. And so here I see the Apostle Paul, he's going and he's going to share with the council. And we read in chapter 23, verse 1 says, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. See how excited he is? He says, I have a message for you and I'm here to tell you how God is faithful. And he says, and the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him in the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. I imagine Paul in these days, preaching in our churches these days. I don't think he will be that popular. And it says, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? And those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. And we have said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. Paul was so smart. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes and the Pharisees partly arose and protested, saying, we find no evil in these men. How faithful is God? Paul's enemies now are saying, oh, he's cool. There's nothing wrong with him. What's the matter with you guys? They hated him. Make no mistake, they didn't like him at all. But now, because they hated the Sadducees even more, they're even willing to take sides with Paul on this issue. But that was not the whole thing. Man, this is great. Now he says, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us now fight against God. Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them. Imagine how furious they were. The soldiers thought that he was going to be nothing but ground meat. Go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. Now this is where it gets interesting. Verse 11. But the following night, The Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." Now, I don't know how you take this truth, this Bible truth, but here's the thing. If God himself comes and he stands right there beside you, and he says, "I'm here with you." See, there's a wonderful truth for us to learn and to apply here. For sometimes we pray that God will deliver us from our problems, from our circumstances, from situations. And God will do that sometimes. But not all the time. We tend to sometimes put God in a box thinking that this is how he's going to act. I know this is going to be the result. And he doesn't do the same over and over and over. He's God. Sometimes he will deliver you mightily. I mean, he will do something miraculously. But sometimes he will not just deliver you, but he will be right there with you. And you know what? Not sometimes, but all the time. That is his promises. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Now, that's an amazing promise because he knows that we will fail so many times. Here is Paul. He was so smart. And if there was ever a person qualified to share the gospel with the Jewish people, this is him. He is it. He's the man for that work, for that goal. And yet God says, "You know what? Besides that, I want to do something even greater in your life." Later on, we're going to read some verses that will take us to Paul's ministry, kind of like from the beginning, and then to these instances, and then ahead of time, and then at the end of his life. And we're going to see how this truth really transformed this man. He was passionate about God. Make no mistake about it. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. In the book of Philippians, he says, I don't care for nothing. I don't want anything. All I want to be is just be found in him. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. But even with that passion, even with that desire and all of that, he failed just like you, just like me, just like any of us. And when we fail, the thing is that fear comes upon our minds and we begin to question things and we begin to ask things and we begin to get discouraged. Fear is a horrible thing because fear will paralyze you. It will make you suffer. It will make you stop doing things. Fear can make you, just give up on anything. Sometimes men give up on their families because of fear. Sometimes people just give up on their marriages because of fear, because they fail. Sometimes we even give up on our children, or our children give up on us. But I want you to remember this verse. Here's Paul. Can you imagine him? He's there in the barracks. This is nighttime. Nobody is with him. The sad thing about it is that if you read the book of Acts before, you see that Peter was arrested. Remember that? They throw him in jail and he's there. And God does a mighty thing because the church is praying for him. Right? And they're praying and Peter will be released. And before they even finish praying, Peter is there. So much so that they wouldn't even believe. They wouldn't even let him in. They were sort of like, wow, what an amazing thing. But the sad thing is that Paul gets arrested here. There's no indication the church praying for him. And it's at the very dark and sad moment in his life when he's there in the barracks by himself. It's all dark. He's even discouraged because he's like, "I'm serving God and nothing really happened perhaps. If it wasn't for the Roman soldiers, I will be nothing but just pieces now." And he's there and he's like thinking like, "Oh, twice already I messed up and my testimony to Jewish people was for nothing." And it's even probably considering like, "Will God ever use me again? Will God even give me an opportunity? What's going to happen? How is it going?" He's all questions and fear. Jesus wouldn't have come to him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul," if he wasn't discouraged. Because he knows your heart. He knows where you are right now. Sometimes we try hard to hide things from people, and we're like, yeah, I'm doing great. And deep inside your heart, you know that you're hurting. Because you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. And the way things are going in our nation, it's so much fear. When is my job? I was talking to a young man last night, and he says, because I don't know how long I'm going to have my job, to be honest. And like him, many of us are in the same situation probably, and you don't know what's going to happen. And your son is, or your daughter is about to graduate high school, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what school she's going to go to, or they're going to go to. And they're rebelling against you, and they're doing these things, and they're going with friends, and they're listening to this music, and you're in fear, like, what's going to happen? It's so sad. It's hard. If at any time in the history of our nation was necessary for the church to really trust in the Lord, it's now. There's an opportunity right now, like never before. To be people that really trust the Lord, and we live like we do trust the Lord. Because out there's nothing but fear. And we don't know when it's going to be the next attack. We don't know what embassy is going to be hit next. We don't know. If you remember, or if you were listening to the last presidential debate, the last question asked, what is the biggest threat to America now? Both candidates agree. Terrorism. Does that give you a hint that we are in fear? Yes. We don't know what's going to happen. But that's the world. They can behave like that. The beautiful thing about Christians is when everybody is in fear and pulling their hairs and not knowing where to go and like chicken with no head, we can stand firm because we believe in Jesus Christ, 100% God. Almighty God. Not only that we believe in Him, but He says, don't worry, I'm with you. I got it. You drop the ball, you fail. I got it. Just hang in there. Just trust Him. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing when you read about this phrase, be of good cheer, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 2. I just give you the verses. To this man that was paralytic, he says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. To a woman who was bleeding a long time, the same phrase says, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Matthew 9, verse 22. To the disciples when they're going through the storm. You know, they were all like scared. And, it is a ghost, they said. And Jesus comes and says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. That's the thing with fear. It paralyzes you. It hurts you. And it makes you see things. But in any situation you might be in this morning, I want to remind you, He loves you. And He will want to say to you this morning, be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. He's with you. Maybe you're paralyzed because you're not able to do anything. Maybe you fell in ministry and you don't even have the desire to go back to it. Or maybe something happened and you just abandoned something. Maybe you abandoned your family. I don't know. Maybe you kicked your children out of... I don't know. Maybe your marriage just went to nothing. Don't be afraid. He loves you. And He knew that you were going to fail. That's one thing I love about serving the Lord. And I worked for this company for so many years and you know, the owner was such a nice guy, but also, I mean, at the same time, he can be so rude, so mean. He would just come in some days and he would just fire people just for no reason. And I stayed there for like 15 years. And I wanted to quit almost like every day. I never knew, you know, like, I don't know what to do here. You know, but serving the Lord is such a wonderful thing that He says, you know, I know you're going to fumble so many times. But I still love you. And that's one thing that really changed Paul's life. Not, this is not the first time that he's going to be encouraged with those words. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, and let's just read a few verses. In chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. It's just a wonderful way. I was just reading through these verses, and we go through the whole thing, and we see when Paul is ready to be sacrificed, he's going to give up his life, and he's going to be executed. And one thing is for sure is that Jesus is with him. It really changed his life. In chapter 18, verse 9 and 10, there is Paul in the middle of a difficult situation too. Verse 9 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you." Isn't that amazing? This is one verse that actually my wife wrote for me when we went to Panama. As soon as we got to Panama, maybe 6 months after, my wife got really sick with anxiety. Now maybe some of you women, mostly women, or maybe some of you guys have suffered anxiety, and you know that that's a horrible thing. It's horrible to just see somebody go through it. But there, when you're there with the one you love with all your heart, You see that person suffer with anxiety. It's just a horrible, it's such a horrible thing. And for 2.5 years, we're going through this. And there we are, we're missionaries, we're there to be witness of God's grace and mercy, and we're there to encourage people, and we have people day in, day out. And in Latin America, the great thing is that church is open 24/7, because we live there. And so they just come and knock at your door, and they ask you, like, "I have a problem. Can you please pray for me?" And you counsel people, like, every day, all day long if you want to. And there I am counseling people and encouraging them in the faith, and just sharing the gospel and telling them, "God loves you. He's okay. You're okay. He's going to..." And there's my wife. And there is no words. I can't find nothing. I can read verses, and I can read the whole book of Psalms and Proverbs and all of these books that I can read to my wife, and I can tell her so many things, and I can try whatever. And nothing happens. Nothing changes. And I begin to even question my own salvation. I'm like, what happened to you? Am I even Christian? Why did I put my wife into this thing? How can God ever forgive me for bringing my wife here? And this is horrible. But you know what? There, in one day that she was doing okay, she writes this verse for me. And I'm like, oh man. And she goes in the room, and she went to sleep for about 10 minutes. And there I am, just pouring out my heart to God. And I said, "God, I know you're with me, but I want you to be with her. Is she who needs you?" She says, No. "You need me more than she does. Because I got her full attention. And I want your heart." And the great thing is that we're not doing anything, because there's my wife and she's sick and all that, and there's more people coming to church. And there's more, now women are coming and just praying with my wife, and they're saying, like, "Oh, I've been going through the same thing through, and I suffer the same thing." And then out of that, my wife starts this Bible study, and now it's three Bible studies in the city with women who suffer anxiety. I call them the destrampadas. You don't want to know what that means. But even from affliction, even from circumstances, even from suffering, God is able to turn it around and use it for His honor and for His glory. You know why? Because He's there. And He's faithful. And He wants you to learn to trust Him with all of your heart. Here's Paul. And he's, of course, he's afraid. Of course, he's got this fear and all these things. And Jesus says, "I'm with you. Fear not, for I am with you." Now, let's go to chapter 27, please. Verses 23 to 24. Now, this is the time when they are in the storm, remember, and, you know, days without eating and all of these things, and they all afraid, they all gonna die, they think, and Paul is there saying, like, "See, you didn't listen to me, I told you." No, he didn't say that, but you know, he's like, says, "Whatever, you guys doing your thing, and now, what are you guys gonna do?" And now, remember, Paul, who had been encouraged previously, now he's able to encourage others who are in the same situation. That is so amazing about God. He can take your suffering and your sorrow and all of that kind of stuff, and He can turn it around so that you can minister to other people. the ministry of consolation, 1 Corinthians Paul said. I mean, it's just amazing. And here's Paul, and it says in verse 22, chapter 27, it says, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." He says, you're going to lose everything, but you're going to survive. Verse 23, remember this. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul.'" God makes sure he ministers to you in the darkest hour, at the most difficult moment. Why? Because he wants Paul, this man who has such a desire to serve God, to be able to minister to other people. And now, let's see at pretty much at the end of his life. If you go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, you know, when he was there by himself in prison, that didn't mean that he was alone. He learned that. And throughout his life, that will encourage him tremendously. He went through so many things. Things that would have made any one of us quit and just give up on everything. All the beatings and all the times that he was just totally beaten up. But at the end of his life, listen to how he's able to encourage now his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. And read with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. Verse 6. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Verse 8. "Finally, there is laid out for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me and on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing." Now, go to verse 16. Same chapter. This is how he's pretty much ending his life, his ministry. He says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me." But what does he say there? "But all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." Verse 17. Isn't this a wonderful verse? "But the Lord stood with me and has strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me." Listen to that. "But the Lord stood with me." See, somehow we can see this ministry, the Jesus is ministering to Paul, and we can see that how he gets strengthened. There's no need for Jesus to be there all the time and all that kind of stuff, because now he has learned. When he sees nobody with him, he's in prison, he's about to end, and he's getting to the one moment. And he says, "You know what? No, nobody was with me." You will think that he will have hundreds of people. And he's praying for him right there outside the prison where he was or whatever. And he's by himself. He's alone there. But there's no more fear. He says, "But the Lord stood..." Look at this. "He stood with me." There he was. Jesus faithfully fulfilling his promise. "I will never leave you, never forsake you." Guys, whatever happens, we don't know what's going to happen. Whatever happens, make sure of these things. Number one, the place for you to be is the place of God's presence. Don't ignore that. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just think that, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm okay." Make sure that the place you are at right now is the place of God's presence. Number one, don't never forget that. Is the Lord with me? Is he right here with me? And if it's not, why not? Well, maybe because he doesn't approve of you being there. But is the Lord with you? Because if the Lord is with you, his presence brings with that his protection. And if the Lord is present, he will protect you. And not only he will protect you, but he will provide for you. So that you, my friend, all of us can finish the race fighting the good fight. That's what is needed these days. That's what the church is. We need to really be clear on this issue. more and more and more, the circle is closing on us, and there's going to be more pressure. There's going to be more of these things. But I want to suggest to you, don't never forget, the place where you want to be at is the place of His presence, so that you can enjoy His protection, so that you can receive His provision. And if you do that, and if we all do that, and as a church, that's our desire. I know that's what the pastor prays for you, and he prepares himself for every Bible study, because there's nothing else that we pastors want the congregation to learn, to dwell in God's presence day in, day out. Because that is the only place. Brothers, halfway Christianity is not going to cut it. Part-time Christianity is not going to get us through. You agree? Yes. Following Jesus from a distance is not going to get us through. We need to totally be committed. God, I just want to be what You are at. I want to be in Your presence. Because see, God's presence changes the whole thing. With your family, there's nothing greater for your children to see. Not to hear. This is what I want you to do. This is how. None of that stuff. That your kids will see that you are in His presence every day. There's not much needed to say. They will follow you. But the reality is, where are they following us now? And as parents, there's got to be this time where we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't know what's up with my family. I don't know what's up. Why have they gone that direction? Could it be maybe because we took them there? But it's time. It's time to all gather together and say, Lord, we're going to get back to You. And we want to be with You. And we want to remain in Your presence until the last day. Who knows? It's getting here. Guys, please remember that. Go with me to 1 Peter, please. I don't know. Did I run out of time already? I have a tendency to do that. You know, in Panama, I'm not kidding. In Panama, we do Bible studies for like an hour and 15 minutes, and people get upset at me. And why is it too short? Keep going. I'm not kidding. We have one service in the morning, and they said, well, give us a break. We got to go eat something and then come back at night. And there they are. They just don't go home. They just stay there. But here, they tell me 45 minutes. If you don't, we're going to make this. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm not going to tell you who told me that. You already know. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Guys, please, if you're going to remember something from this morning's message, I want you to remember, please, please, remember this verse. And please, put it into practice. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you. Verse 7 says, but the end of all things is what? Amen. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, what else? Underline that word, that phrase. Be serious. Do it in your Bible. Do it in the Bible right next to you. Write it down on somebody's back or whatever. But remember this. Guys, it is time for the church to get serious with Jesus' business. And I know you guys are serious, and I love that. You know what? It is time for us. The world out there is perishing with no hope. They have no answer for the problems. They are in fear. But you guys, you are in the rock of your salvation. You will stand firm. If the whole thing collapses, if the whole economy, and who cares? We know that Jesus is with us. And in His presence, it's better to be in His presence, even though if you spend a day in jail or whatever, than being out there somewhere without Him. May the Lord give us a heart, an obedient heart, that we will apply these truths to our lives. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. This is one thing I want to encourage you this morning. There was a lot of fear about the storm and all of these things. Some guys came and said, when are you going back? I go, like, tonight. Oh, great, you're not going to make it. I go, like, that's great. They thought I was going to panic or something. I go, like, that's great. Even my brother Doug, his mother said, hey, I think your flight was canceled. I go, like, that's great. Who cares? You know, we want to be in his presence. Amen? Isn't that what we want to do? We want to be in his presence, and we want to just get ready for what's coming. We're going to worship him for eternity. Might as well start getting ready now. Be in his presence. Be of good cheer, guys. He's with you. Isaiah 41:10, I know you guys all know by memory. I will strengthen you with my righteous right hand. What a wonderful promise. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you so much for just your faithfulness. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are so awesome. You are mighty God. But it's not that you are mighty God. You are my God. You are our God, and we love you. And we thank you so much that you have always, the door is always open for us. And we can ask you when we're in difficulty and diversity of circumstances, Lord. We want to pray that in the name of Jesus, you will strengthen us. Lord, sometimes we will go through the storms. Sometimes you will prevent us from getting into the storms. Whatever that might be, we just want to be in your presence. There is no other place in the world that we want to be. That nothing compares to just the joy to be in your presence. Lord, you loved us so much. And we just rejoice that in you there is forgiveness. Here we are, we're your church. We're your children, we're your people. Not because of what we are, who we are, because of who you are. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we confess that sometimes we have not asked you before we do things. Sometimes we just try to do things our way or try to run our families our way. Sometimes we just want to treat our families.